Okay, we had a few questions come in from the religious dimension of mathematics. It's nice to know that some people do actually read the religious scriptures and things like that. And yes, there's a lot of mathematical code inside of those writings. One of the most famous is probably the 7 days of creation, and you know, a lot of people have made the association between that and a geometric form we call the seed of life. Partly because the seed of life is made of 7 interlocking circles that form the octave of space. But when you count the number of circles going across, you'll find there's 3. So therefore it is the perfect embodiment of an octave and the division of a space into 3. In fact, the Vesca Pisces that forms it is the first division, and that's where we see it reflects round in 6 directions, you could say, yeah. So what we're going to say is, okay, let's have a little look at some of the ideas there in the Bible, that, you know, that there is this infinite flat surface, yeah, and upon that flat surface is where this creation thing is going to take place. So if you imagine, if we were talking, let's say we're looking from a 4th dimensional space, that which we call 3 dimension now looks like a flat space, and what's going to happen is we're going to create this circular pattern, yeah, called the flower of life, and we're going to go through, and we can create that just with circles, and we can create an infinity of that, or to infinity, yeah. But actually, people, I think people might refer to that as, some people might refer to it as the firmament, yeah, which created this kind of division of infinite number space, lots of dots everywhere, separated by a uniform space of 1. Yeah, and that formed a triangular tapestry. And actually in 4th dimension, there isn't actually any kind of space as such. We're really just jumping to a point in infinity. So one of those points, yeah. And so it's all just calculated in 4th dimensional ordinance. Yeah. So, we're in the 3rd dimension. This is obviously what I'm saying is from 4th dimension looking in, 3rd dimension looks like a flat plane. Yeah. You could put it in 3 dimensions as just a bunch of dots, couldn't you? And those bunch of dots become the atoms that we experience. So the first thing that happens is you find out, you know, God divides. So no surprise there, because as we said, the only one mathematical thing you can do when you've got an infinity is divide. And once that division process began, gathered up the light and put it all in one place or whatever, and then we get this thing called the separating of the light and the darkness, and then the firmament comes in, which is this separation which sets the 4th dimensional plane. So we can go around and we can talk a lot about the other days. You can follow it through the geometry, yeah. On the on the 3rd day, you could say actually that you put the 3 spheres together, there's a space in the middle, and suddenly, yeah, and that space in the middle is very important. We represent that as a triangle divided into 4 smaller triangles, with an upside down triangle being blacked out. Then we've got the 4th day, the cross, yeah, which is all in there, isn't it, yeah, with the 0 squared. We've got the 5th day, 6th day, yeah, and then on the 7th day God rests. Okay, well, that's the idea anyway, yeah. Take a break. So one way we can see that is through, let's now use 4th dimensional mathematics a little bit. I'm not going to go too much into the story details, but just more about the concept of the number, yeah. So if I go round, I can say, okay, 7 cycles or something, yeah, 7 things created, yeah, and then on the 7th there was a resting moment, yeah. Okay, so let me now, instead of arranging it in a circle, let me take those circles and arrange them in a triangular function, and that means that what we're going to do is we're going to be able to sort of record each day in a row. Yeah, so the first row was just a sphere or a circle, and then the second day was 2 circles, yeah. So we put 2 circles, we've got a triangle now, 3 circles, you see. You see what's happening? We're building up a triangle. The 3rd day will be 3 circles, we get to 6, yeah. The 4th day will be another 4, so that's 10. Yeah, we've got 10 spheres now. We've got the 4th, the 5th day, that'll be another 5, so 15. 6th day will be 6, so that gives us 21. And what we find is that 21 is 3 weeks in a year, yeah? 3 weeks in a year, yeah? 3 weeks, and then we're missing one for the month. And in the one that's the 7th, which is the one where God rests or whatever, is the 4th week in that month, and there's a resting period. And so what you're actually looking at there is a sort of interesting code, isn't there? Because what we're talking about is like 3 of those 7s were occupied with, you know, the building of these things. And then we got to the number 21. And the number 21 was quite interesting from a pie perspective, because if you go to, if you go to 22 and divide by 7, you're going to get a number very close to pi. But actually, it's just a little bit out, isn't it? Yeah, it's not quite. Yeah, it's just under, just under 22, just before you reach that 22, just an infinite boundary before the 22. And so maybe actually when you start to cross that infinite boundary, there's a little bit of jiggly stuff that happens, yeah? And so what we find is on the seventh day, yeah, is actually, you know, is where we get 22 over 7 makes the pi, is that it becomes in the seed of life tapestry, we don't actually technically, the original circle that we drew can be erased, because now we have a ring of 6, and that can now we can erase the center circle and remove it, and when we do that, you create a space in the middle, something different, yeah? So, and then what you will see is that each one of those spheres will have a counterpart. You know, you can raise the middle sphere, a middle circle out of the seed of life, the one you started with, shrink it to a tiny little dot, if you like. And what you see then is a circle, a load of 6 circles, and those can rotate. You know, he says it after that, threw down the mist, didn't he? None of this creation stuff actually happened. It was just a plan. And then after that, he said, and it was all inanimate. And then he breathed life into it. And that was like a rotational function. So that rotational function, once you get those 6 spheres and you've taken out the one in the middle, leaves a 0, and that becomes 0 to the power of 3. And you get 3-dimensional reality, you know, and that's what we see in the atom. We see the p orbitals are the first ones to emerge after the s orbitals, and it's the first shape, isn't it? And there has to be 2 s orbitals, the double sphere, to make the torus function work properly. Once we've established the torus at the center, p orbitals start to emerge. We get more toruses and p orbitals, and then d orbitals, which are cubic in nature, and they can emerge based on the cross itself, 0 squared itself. And actually, when you follow through the atom in 3-dimensional space, you can see how each one works, like these number crosses just expanding into hexagons. And that's how it works, really. So, and then, yeah, the hexagon, and then it always finishes the hexagon. The hexagon is the boundary of the dimension, if you like. When we experience life, for example, we see life at various different scales. We are perceiving life at various different scales. You know, we've got dogs and things like that, and cows and things. There's life form, isn't it? We're experiencing that life form, and that life form exists at a certain scale, a certain size, yeah? You know, we expect cows to be a certain size. We expect humans to be a certain size. We say, oh, he's big, or he's small. But actually, you know, yeah, there's a limitation. And we all exist within that limited boundary of scale. As we reduce in scale from our perception, from just the scale that we're at in the universe, what we see is the diminishing of life form, and the form starts to take it on a different shape. It starts to become insectoid, and the insectoid race, they are more hexagonal, aren't they? They're a hexagonal kind of creature, very two-dimensional in their approach to life. You know, they crawl up these two-dimensional surfaces wandering around, not like us with our 3-dimensional awareness, yeah? Or actually, you could say humans with our 4th-dimensional awareness, because there's something special, obviously, about what we're doing on planet Earth as opposed to many of the other animals. So so there's certain things there which are to think about, you know, how life forms and things like that do also represent geometric shape. We can understand the construct of number, and some of that stuff with the 0 squared and all of that, yes, it does translate quite well into much of the religious thinking. And that starts to sort of, you know, knock on doors there, within, that's probably going to upset a few scientists, probably upset a few mathematicians as well. But actually, when we're looking for a unified theory, as we have done, we couldn't not look into, what certain, religious scriptures were saying. And it's just of an interest, really, to sort of say that there are these references, quite where these scriptures have appeared from, or who was the originator from those things, still remains a mystery. And if they are of a, say, a divine origin from another dimension, maybe they're trying to express a higher mathematic that could one day be decoded by us humans. So anyway, that's just some thoughts there, in response to some questions we had about what about the 7 days of creation. What do you think of that? I don't know if that was a serious sort of comment, but no, but you know, we're more than willing also to have a look at the, you know, spiritual dimension. But we, at the moment, we're just sort of doing a lot of the mathematics stuff mainly, yeah. But if you want to know more about mathematics, in relationship to the spiritual dimension, Dr. Heike Bielik is a specialist in that field, and she can help you, with her, some of her talks and lectures and things like that. So you can tune into some of her stuff. In the meantime, this is Colin Power, just giving my oar in for this week, and just let you know, thank you very much for tuning in, and on behalf of Intune Infinity, have a great day, and we'll see you again next time.